are listening to Legacy Moments, where we have authentic conversations about life, business, and so much more to transform your mind, body, and soul. I am Dr. Patrice Berry, and I am joined by my co-host and mom, Johnny Lloyd. Together, we combine my years of psychological training with her years of business and leadership experience to add value to your day. Today, we're going to hop right into today's topic, how to apologize, when to apologize, and how to stop apologizing for people that maybe apologize too much. And let me go live over here. And so let's hop right in.
I think the first thing we could start with is actually being a people pleaser. When you recognize, and I have been that way in the past, and I have to be careful because sometimes I enter back into that zone where I want to please other people. So because of that, I have had the tendency to apologize when I don't do what they desire me to do. Even when it's like over the top, it doesn't matter. I end up apologizing for it. That does not require an apology. No is a full sentence. We need to know how to put a period behind our no and not a comma. So I used to say, no, it's because it doesn't sound like an apology, but it is. No is a full sentence. I get a chance to control my time, my energy, my money, my talent. I get a chance to say no. And the key with it is I don't just smear no everywhere. I'm just really being more intentional about what I say yes to. So back to the apology. The issue is, the other thing is I would like to address is off the top is apologizing for who you are, how you look, how you laugh, what you do because of what you've heard from other people in the past.
I love all of this, and we have to pause. So she brought up two separate things. And so we have to first talk about that no is a complete sentence. And when somebody asks me something, so if somebody says, hey, Patrice, can I borrow? In their mind, a possible answer should be no. My no should not, but sometimes people get so used to your yes that your no offends them. I'll say that again. People get so used to your yes that your no offends them. And that is their problem. It is not yours. You get, because if no isn't an option, then this is not a relationship. Like I, even as an employee now, because no can have consequences.
Yeah.
So, okay. But I think there should always be that choice. There should always be that option. Because to me, a true friend wouldn't want me to give to them and then not be able to meet my needs or not be able to take care of myself, because then they are using me. If my no is like, if I can't say no to them, that's a really, really big problem.
That's abuse. That's misuse of the relationship. That's misuse of the power, you know, because just because I'm a nice person, whatever the situation is, if I cannot say no, then that limits me. And therefore, it causes me to come and I can end up being anxious. I can have anxiety. I can have fear. I can have all of these things because I know when I enter into the space with this person or people or whatever the situation is that I may end up doing something, saying something that is not going to add value or not something I desire to do. And, so go ahead.
And we love to add quick tips. And so something you can do that's practical is if this is an area that you're growing in, when somebody asks you something, say, let me think about it. Oh, let me check. Like to just be able to stop and breathe because your brain might go into survival mode. Especially if as a child, if you weren't able to say no, or if you've survived difficult things by people pleasing, because people, often forget that people pleasing can be a stress response. It can be a trauma response. And so it can feel unsafe to set that boundary to say no. And I want to validate that. And I think you first step back to say, okay, let me think about it. And it's not really that I'm thinking about it. It's I'm getting the courage to say the answer that I know. And I think that's trusting yourself, because I think so often people please other people and they don't please themselves.
Ooh, but that's deep. That's deep. That is so deep, y'all. And that goes back to value, right? Value. It's one thing, I always want to add value when I come into the room, right? Or when I have a relationship with somebody, when I have a client. My goal from the beginning is to add value. However, my goal is not to decrease my value.
Yeah.
Add value to you doesn't mean I decrease the value to me.
And if somebody else does not see your value, it does not make you worth less. So if there's a $100,000 painting on sale for a dollar, that painting is still worth $100,000. The person is just willing to accept a dollar for it. And so you get to set your value, and you can also accept less. And so I like giving people that power, because often we'll say, they didn't see my value. They didn't do that. They didn't do this. And that can be an incredibly lonely place. And we'll get to that next week. So next week, we're going to talk about purging. Purging. There are some things, some people, there are sometimes we just need to purge. But that there can be a lot of pain that comes up with setting boundaries, with walking away. And so I like how we're talking about, first of all, you get to say no, and I shouldn't have to apologize for it. I shouldn't have to say, oh, I'm sorry, I can't. And so that's where people make little language shifts. And I heard a lot of this over on TikTok. Instead of saying, I'm sorry, I can't do it, I can say, thank you for thinking of me. I'm not available. Thank you so much for asking. I don't know.
Yeah, I like that. So you, I love the way that we hear, I heard you, because a lot of people say, did you hear what I asked? You know what I'm saying? So the question, the tip that you gave earlier is something that I have learned to do and I have to continue to do. I have to stand back for a moment and say, and think, let me check my calendar. Now my calendar is on my phone officially, but I said, sometimes it doesn't always transpire, because, you know, because I have Calla Lily and all these other things. I want to just make sure. Some people do that, right? But really, I don't have to explain even that. I just need to say, I'll get back to you. Let me get back to you. And that's even when somebody's inviting you to a trip. So let's talk about one other tip. When somebody asks you, and you know the people, you know them people that ask you, what are you doing for the rest of the day?
Because nothing is an okay answer. Like nothing, the joy of doing nothing, nothing at all.
Nothing. You get the right to do nothing, right? So some people come in my life, I can't speak about your life, my life, ask me, what are you doing for the rest of the day? And I have learned, because you're dealing with each individual is different, in a couple cases to say, why? What's going on? I just took my control back, because if I first of all say nothing and then they say, well, let's go and do. And then I say, I don't want to. Okay. So I just want to be myself. Well, you said you weren't doing nothing. Nothing does not mean not a thing. It means what I desire to do. I leave that space open for my decision. And so to bring my power back in this particular cases, I ask them, what do you have in store? What's up? What you got going, girl? What you got going, guy? Whatever, right? What you got going? And when they tell me, then I can really say, no, I ain't doing that. I don't want to go shopping for 4 hours or whatever it is, right? But I don't have to say no to the shopping. I can say, you know, my world is always busy or whatever. I said, no, I'm not available for that.
And rest is a thing.
Yes.
So many people, and my mom's generation, because I remember when I was little and I know I've said this here before, and I will tell the story a million and one times.
Guilty.
When she would come home after working all day, and I had been at school, and she would be like, "What are you doing?" And she's looking at me, sitting on the couch, remote doing in nothing. Hand, doing nothing.
Doing what I considered nothing.
Doing what she considered to be nothing. And rest was not something that was valued. And so something that we're doing to kind of break this cycle is every day my child is at home, he has quiet time. We schedule rest. Oh no, like you are going to have some alone time. And he is extremely smart. As I say, he's five, he's turning five. He's only four right now. He's turning five. And so soon, oh my gosh. And with that, he'll say, "But I'm alone." I'm like, you're not alone. Mommy's right next door. We are still all here. Oh, are you feeling alone? I can validate the feeling. Yes. And yes, he is physically in the room by himself, but I don't tell him this because this isn't his problem. Mommy needs time. Mommy needs to just for 2 hours. And people on TikTok know when I stream on Sundays, he normally comes in and I let him stay and talk because I don't want him to think I value this community more than him. He's like, "Wait a minute, like you have time for them. Why don't you have time for me?"
And so. And the thing about spending time, I'm going through the 40-day journey for me personally. And what I'm listening to is a whisper, is to give yourself time to just breathe, to breathe. And in that moment, when you take the breath, you get a chance to know yourself better. You get a chance to feel what you're feeling. You get a chance to grow and to know what you're thinking so that you can move forward to be better in your goals, your aspirations, whatever. A lot of times we're in a space, and I was raised like that. I mean, what Patrice just said is true. I was raised like that. If you weren't doing something, and I'm a productivity person. I do productivity and profitability, right? So being productive in quiet time is just as powerful, if not more powerful, than being productive by moving stuff and doing stuff and touching stuff.
And I think what you're saying is productive could be resting for an hour.
Preparing. Because how do you feel yourself if you are always busy doing something? If you're doing something for someone else, how do you get a chance to feel you? How do you get refreshed?
And I acknowledge the fact because my mom's mom, my grandmother, she had seven kids, worked full time and had side businesses and would cook and clean and did she did all the things, and she didn't really refill herself.
Right.
And I think
that did.
And so that's why I like to show that model to my child, that you can be strong and vulnerable.
Right.
You can be strong and, you know, be tired and need to rest, or to not wear yourself out to the point where you're so irritable that your family is like, "I don't want to be around you."
Right. And if you always need someone to be in your space or something like that, it can be distracting. So let's go back to apologizing, because apologizing, if you were looking at a person like that was raised like me, I used to apologize when I was taking downtime. I used to apologize for that because it's like, it's not productive. I need to go do something. I need to do all this stuff, right? I used to apologize to myself or make excuses to me. So the first person that we need to understand about not apologizing is to ourselves. We don't need to apologize for rest. We don't need to apologize for how we feel ourselves, whether it be through meditation, whatever. You don't have to apologize for that. And then people will respect you more when you know yourself more. When you start setting, and we've had boundaries before, go out and listen to the one that we did on boundaries. When we establish boundaries, they're not to limit us. They're to allow us more flexibility in that space. So when we do that and we establish a boundary, people will shift. When you change, other people's change. So going back to why apologize.
And we have to stick with the not apologizing for who you are and what you believe, where you are. Now that's different from growing, because I have grown as a person and I can listen and empathize with somebody else and my perspective can change. And maybe I wasn't considering something. And so I think that's different than saying, okay, I love going out. I'm an extrovert. If you take me to a movie, I might talk back at the movie a little bit. Like I just like let's watch a movie at home if you're going to be embarrassed by that. Like I just, and so knowing who you are and then being around people that respect that. I have levels of relationship. And within those levels, the people closest to me, the ones that are the closest to my heart, and those are the ones that can hurt you the most, those are the people that I trust the most, those people, we get each other and we let each other be exactly who we are. And it's so, because I had somebody that I knew and we were hanging out and they were like, and they said, I don't do sarcasm. And I was just like, because I am an extremely sarcastic person. And it would be different if the person was like, don't make sarcastic remarks about me. Do you know what I mean? Like don't, like if you have an issue with me, say it directly, which is something that I do. But if you're just like, don't make sarcastic remarks at all, like I can't spend time with you because I love sarcasm. I enjoy it. And so, and then not thinking there's something wrong with me. Like, okay, you don't like that. That's okay. No problem. We're just not going to hang out.
And that's a choice, right? And the other thing though is knowing when to apologize.
Yes.
Because we're not saying never apologize. I do not want y'all to ever think that there's never an opportunity to apologize. So, Patrice, let's talk about how.
So step one is listen. Listen and try your best to be open and not get defensive. And that is so hard because often when somebody comes and they say, this is how what happened, this is how I feel because of that, or this is how what you did impacted me. Because often a lot of people listening, watching, that was not the intent. Like, most people don't go out with the intent of doing harm. And one of the hardest things I had to do was listen to a friend, like talk with me about something that had really harmed them. And that was not my intent, but that was not the time. I needed to let them let it out. And I needed to try to see it from where they were. And from where they were, I understood their pain. And really, that first step was just listening and not getting defensive. And so in that moment, that is not the time to say you took it wrong or that's not what I, like that. No, because that's a wall and that's to protect you. And that's not looking at the relationship. And we are talking about how to apologize with healthier relationships, not with. So there are some people that will come, I bump into her and I'm like, oh, you were in my way. And she's like, wait a minute, you bumped into me. Like I didn't. So I'm not talking about a situation like that, where somebody is trying to put stuff on you. This is more just with some of those, like this is more on the healthier side, mm-hmm. because I think trying to see it from there and then a good apology. Because now it's about rebuilding trust if we can. And so listening, trying to not get defensive. And then I often think that first day, that's not the time to try to explain. It's kind of, sometimes it's a, so where do we go from here?
Yeah.
When you're in a space, I'd love to kind of share how I saw it. And if we're not there, that's okay. And so, and then, were you going to say something?
Well, I was going to just reiterate what you said. So the apology, and help me with this, the apology is about affirming, you know, like, that was not my intent. I understand what you said. And because you can't tell me my emotion is bad. Now, it's because it's mine. It belongs to me. So it was not my intent to cause you to feel that way. You know what I'm saying? Because like Patrice said, sarcasm, I'm in that space and our family is in a space we really be at. But don't touch us, because we will battle for each other. It's not because sarcasm, and maybe people have different opinions of sarcasm, because some people can be very nasty and really nasty and ugly with sarcasm. That is not what we're talking about. So if I say or do something and it causes harm to you, and you talk about the fact that how it made you feel, then I am going to listen to understand.
Yeah.
Then I may comment and say that was not my intention, because I want to continue with the relationship. If the person on the other side continues to attack, or they start attacking, then I realize that the movement forward for my safety may be to walk up. Now, when I say walk away, I'm saying that the relationship, the momentum, the relationship has shifted. And I just need to decide, where do we go from here? Because it's two sides of the relationship.
I like that you said that, because if somebody is coming at me and I don't do yelling, screaming, cussing at me, I don't do that. This morning I honked at some, because the light was red. It had been red for probably like 10 seconds. I don't know. It had been red for longer than I would have liked. But like, we were fine. Like, it didn't turn into like the person didn't yell, scream. Like, it ended up being fine. Cause the semi truck behind me also, right when I honked, the truck behind me honked too. but with situations, I do think it depends on how the person is coming to you, because I do think that there needs to be safety for everyone involved.
Everybody.
And within close relationships, we can talk about that beforehand. My friends know, don't yell, because my brain shuts off. Yelling at me is just pointless, because all I'm thinking about is leaving, like I just, or hanging up, or I just know. I don't do people yelling, screaming, cursing at me. Because I can't hear it. But I think being able to have the conversation in a place where we can. I'll caution against texting things, because text removes tone. Now, for some people, that's best, because I can't say it like it, it'll come off. And so if I am going to send it, I might need a neutral person. Hey, this is what I want to send to this person. Can you just take a look at it? And our last episode was on what relationships are just, they just can't be reconciled, because there are some people that I would not even try to apologize to. Like the offense was so great. Like, nope. Like, I don't have anything to say to you. I don't need to let you know how much you hurt me to move forward. Like, that's just, I just can't. And you're able to just kind of move forward on your own. But I do think how the person comes to you is important. And it's okay for me to say, whoo, like, this seems like a real hot topic. Can we move this to a time when we're like
both in a space?
I'm saying both, but like, yeah. I'm not gonna do that.
You're in a space.
That's sarcasm.
Oh yeah. So now let's talk about it when it's your family. Have you ever been to an event or a family reunion or whatever, and let's say you're the one that looks like the sheep that is different from everybody else, right? So the person who's different, when you come into the space, everybody says, oh, it's the team that always, they do better, they act, but, you know, we act like we got, what am I looking for? Character, integrity, whatever, right? We're different. So different is not bad. And I don't have to apologize for being different. Because when I apologize for being different, my brain says,
You're wrong.
You're wrong. This is who you are. So how do you be authentically you? And, oh, she has something. Go ahead.
So with that, there are some family members. So I'm glad. So we have a family reunion coming up next year. And I've told my family, hey, there are certain things we don't do and say around our child. We just don't. We just don't. And the family is going to be respectful of that. Some people might make little like comments and I don't, but it's, we're good. But if I would not be saying with the family, if they couldn't, right. if it was impossible for people to stay within my boundary for my own safety, for myself and my family, I wouldn't stay with them. I would stay somewhere else. I'm so excited that I'm going, like, because this will be the first time me being with all the family. The family did have a reunion.
We are live. L-I-V-E live.
After 10 p.m., it's like a whole other.
But this is the deal. I love what you said, if I may interject. One of the things is, the first thing they said about that is they backed up and said, whoa, okay, so, we heard you. So and we need to change. We need to shift.
Somebody asked for an example of my boundaries.
Oh, good.
So my child, we do not, and every family is different. I understand what people say. There aren't no good words, bad words. My kid has no impulse control. And so if he heard the words.
He thinks they're new words.
He would think they were, and so we don't.
And he will use them appropriately.
So we don't curse around him. When I was his age, family would like give me alcohol as a joke.
Well, and she would sip on it. We didn't give her alcohol. She would take the glasses that were under our chairs and drink the alcohol. And we would try to figure out why, what is wrong with her? And people were like, I think she drank my drink. And so we had to be careful. It wasn't like we gave her alcohol. That is illegal, immoral, and not, that just... But she did. Patrice was always really cute with curly hair and all that stuff. And so I would have, because I'm very social, right? So I would be, she would be under the chairs because we set the glasses on the floor and Patrice, people not ignore, you know. And so Patrice would be sitting here like, and then next thing we know, she leaning. Well, are you okay? And then she would be giggling. And so, you know, people, for the first few times, we didn't know. And then we started doing some different stuff because somebody said, I think Patrice drank a glass. So Patrice was like going through withdrawal. You're like, where's the glass? You know, like it's supposed to be on the floor.
Give me my juice.
Give me my juice.
Give me my happy juice.
So my point for saying that is, it wasn't super hard. It wasn't hard liquor. It was wine.
However, it was like daiquiris. And like,
it was frozen daiquiris. But this is the point that coolers. I'm saying is that the environment, when you come into environment, you bring your children to environment, or you come into environment, you have to align to your environment, right? Now, I'm going to be honest. We were overseas and we were in an area when this happened. It was 9 men to every woman. I'm a cooker. I throw down. So our home was the hangout place. Everybody took care of it. I mean, Patrice didn't want for nothing. She had 5 closets almost. So, and a room with all this stuff. We ain't gonna talk about Patrice. So anyway, but my point for saying that is not because of things she had, but it was an environment and we had to shift the environment. When people are not willing to shift the environment to protect or respect your boundary, it's an aha. It's a moment you need to look and step back. Remember what I said, step back and breathe. It's not their issue, it's your issue. So step back and breathe and then find out how you need to readjust. And that's what we did. We stepped back. I stepped back and breathe and said, well, you know, we still want to have the event. We still want to have the fun. We want to do all this stuff and let her enjoy the happiness in the space because they spoiled her. Whatever. But we stopped putting our glasses on the floor. So little adjustments. But if you were in that situation and people said, that's your problem, that's your child, deal with it. Something's a disconnect, right? And if it's your home, then that person would probably, in my case, would not be on the guest list. Because if I establish a boundary, I'm giving everybody a place of peace, a place of warmth, a place to enjoy, whatever the situation is, right? And you will not respect the boundary that I have for safety. Then there's a disconnect. That means that there's a disconnect. So I don't need to apologize for my boundary. I don't need to apologize for the fact that my child was on the floor drinking some sushi. I don't need to apologize for that. I need to work through it and deal with it. And so that's my responsibility as the adult. Same thing. We're talking about going to the event. Now we are excited about Patrice coming and Lamar and, you know, everybody coming, right? However, my family does have this issue. We have it, some of them, but this is her boundary is actually helped this last time, even though she wasn't there. We had other children because what I said was, it's not about her. It's about, we need to be more respectful to anybody that's younger. We don't want to be giving them that words. We have, all of us are extremely intelligent, right? We have other words that we can say. So we ended up in your uncle, Dr. Uncle, he started using huge words. Like, y'all don't know what that means, you know? So because we're sarcastic, so we play and enjoy. But my point is, enjoy your moment. Make your space safe for you and those who you love. And then you can step back and you can readjust or whatever. But apologies are extremely important. There are some things in my life that I have apologized to Patrice for. When she was growing up, as parents, this is a good one, y'all. I'm gonna lean in for this one. Parents, if you're wrong, apologize to your children. Let me tell you what it does. It teaches them how to apologize. It teaches them the value of adults and that adults are not always right. Right? And it also teaches them to respect themselves and to respect others. So there are some things as we went up, I would go back and I would apologize to Patrice, right? Because of what happened, you know, whatever the situation was, I was wrong. This is how I would handle it in the future. So don't be so high-minded that you're no earthly good because a person thinks they're beyond the state that they don't have to apologize for anything.
And the things I've heard people say is, oh, they're just a child. What? What? Just a child? What? Like, I think being able to, because then often adults want the kid to apologize.
Yeah.
And it's like, but you're not modeling that for them when you are wrong. And so my son, when your kids get memory, so if I tell him, hey, if you eat all your food, you can have ice cream sandwich. And then he eats all his food and then it's almost bedtime. And he's like, you said I could have an ice cream sandwich. I was like, you're right. I did. And like, as long as he hasn't brushed his teeth, because one time, like he had already brushed his teeth. And so we had to have a negotiation. My kid, very, very bright. And and then I also want to be a person of my word. Because that instills trust. And so I think that's what apologizing can be a way to repair. But if you keep apologizing, because if I keep, I'm sorry. She's gonna be like, wait, just stop. Like, don't.
Yeah.
So I think apology goes beyond your words. I also need to see a change in your behavior.
Wow. So for all us faith people, repentance. Repentance is a type of apology, but if there's no turning away from, that's what Patrice just illustrated. If the person keeps on doing the same thing, then the apology is empty, right? Now, I know it takes time sometimes for people to readjust and learn new things, because sometimes you can be taught to do something, and then you are in a situation where you need to build a new habit. So the way that you build a new habit is you build it upon something that you already know, makes it easier to build a new habit. You don't take away the old habit and say, well, I'm just not going to do that. What are you going to replace it with?
Yes.
So if you know that you're a little harsh, and I used to be harsh on some things. No face. Anyway, I used to be harsh on some things, but I was also harsh to myself. Did she just do that?
I said same.
Oh, same. Okay, just want to make sure.
I did. I said
she same. Pointed at me.
I said same.
Okay. So as you transform, as you change as a person, then there's adjustments that you make in your life, right? So when those adjustments are being made, other people may start looking at you a little bit different. Well, it used to be okay. However, it's not. It's not. So then you keep on dealing with the person and they keep on doing the same thing. And you keep on saying, it's not. One of you are extra.
And that's where I love the saying, if someone shows you who they are, believe them. So if I'm in a relationship with someone that lies a lot, they lie all the time. They lie about the color of the sky. Well, then that might not be somebody that can be close to me. But what I can do is if I know I won't say, did you do this? Like, I'm be like, hey, I asked you not to eat my chocolate and you ate my chocolate. Please don't eat my chocolate again. I need, we're not even going there. Just don't eat my chocolate. Okay. We're good. We're good. Okay, fine. And so I think sometimes it's deciding, okay, maybe this is just who the person is. Yeah. And do we need to be in close relationship? But I think boundaries need to be communicated. And that's something that happened to me where, I have a close relationship with my mom. I didn't mind if one of my friends told them like, oh yeah, Patrice is this, or I wouldn't care if they talked with their parent about something I had talked with them about. But I had friends that cared and they were like, hey, don't come. And I did, I changed. As soon as I knew that it bothered them if I shared things with my mom, I stopped. And I didn't know before. And so making sure that if something is bothering you, being able to get to the point where you can talk with the person about it, because then that gives them a chance to change or make an adjustment. And if they can't, then you decide, okay, I'm sorry, I didn't tell you stuff.
Right. And that's what to go over and over. Relation is the part that we continue to build upon. Relationships are cycles, right? Because who I am today is not who I was 10 years ago. I'm a newer, better, mm-hmm. cuter version of me. I'm just saying. So, and the thing about it is being in relationship with people that can move with you.
Yes.
And also identify things, because if I was doing something that appeared to be harmful to me, I want people in my life to say, that's a little, are you sure? You know, because they care enough. So as we transform, things around us change. The greatest, we can't change other people. Can I just say that? So even though you get an apology or whatever, or you give an apology, does not give you the power to change anybody. The only person that I can change is me.
And they are responsible for changing them. And it doesn't make me a bad person. It doesn't mean, because so there's this whole thing, and we're going to talk about this a whole nother day, like where women think if I was good enough, he would change for me. Ooh. We got to have a whole, oh my gosh, like we got to have a whole conversation on that. Because it's like, but that doesn't mean that you weren't a good woman if he didn't change. Like that's like a whole, like we gotta spend a whole time. So next time we are going to talk about the purge. I'm sorry to drop that.
Did she just drop that? Like, bam. Like, okay. So the other thing we're going to talk about is, is he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord.
No,
yes, we are.
No, we're not.
Let me tell you how we're going to talk about it.
But we're talking about relationship in general.
Yes.
That's very okay.
But let me tell you why. The deal is that you're a wife before. So what do you need to do as a
person?
Can
we talk about it from partner? Can we talk about it from partner?
Partner, I like that.
Okay, thank you.
From a partner. Okay, I like that. That's more respectful.
Thank you.
I got you.
Okay. My she on my platform. I love her. I don't.
This is, wait. y'all know she's having flashbacks. this is the deal. The deal is respect both ways. Respect is not about age. Respect about is her mindset. So Patrice has always been like this. And I've always opened the door. I respect what Patrice thinks. Now that don't mean she get her way all the time. especially when she was younger, she wasn't paying no bills. She didn't have no job. Or even when she got a job and she thought she was a big mama, you know, but she was always, she was paying was electric bill. I had to.
Living in a $6,000 house.
Her 7,000 square foot house. And she's sitting up here acting like, you're giving $300 a month. That don't pay nothing. I'm in this place. Did you waking up in the morning and seeing the water?
I was in school.
She was in school.
I was in doctor school.
Wait a minute. I asked her to come live with me. But she said, you have 7,000 square feet. Oh, no. I am moving out of this place and moving in with you. So, anyway, y'all just getting the, this should be part of the backstory. Anyway, but my point is in that, is that, allow your children to know that you value their thoughts. So I let even my grandson, I let him say, this is what I want.
He'll tell you.
You're not going to get that. And he says, but I want it. I said, we want a lot of things, sweetie. So with her, I always gave her responsibility and I always valued her thoughts. So one of the ways to help people understand who you are and give them the room to grow is to value their thoughts. So when somebody comes on your platform, I haven't forgot. When somebody comes on your platform, regardless of where the platform is, it's your platform. It should be authentic to what you're doing. So make sure when you bring somebody into your space that when they leave, you don't look at the space and say, oh my God, what just happened? Or, oh my goodness, what just happened? I allowed somebody to come in and move all the furniture in the room and paint the wall some other weird color. No, it's your space. You take control of that. And when they care about you, when they value your thoughts, they will look at it and they will hug you through it and say, I'm growing. growing. So thank y'all so much.
On that note, we are going to wrap it up. Thank you so much for joining us. Please join us next week. We'll be talking about the purge. All right. Have a great day.